Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. My name is Matt Harrington. I am your host, and we are going to be talking all about ABA research. In this podcast, we break down one ABA research article per episode, taking out the key findings for you so that on your morning commute or on your way into work, you can become a better behavior analyst. Now, let's get to the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. We are continuing our essential reading section. And we are finally taking a break from problem behavior. We've essentially had about three or four straight podcasts all on severe behavior, and we are actually going into skill acquisition. Now, before we get into the article, a quick disclaimer, a quick, it's not my fault, don't blame me situation here. It is so hard to find foundational papers on skill acquisition. And let me just give you a quick example. Let's say you're looking for three readings that really create amazing outcomes for people who are looking to get into skill acquisition. Like I'm talking the ones that they're going to use every single day and that really impact their practice, because that's the goal. I don't want you to listen to these and then just forget about them. I want them to make a difference. So you pick a verbal behavior article, maybe the one on MOs and EOs by Jack Michaels. That's a pretty crucial article, right? However, the person that you're talking to just does toilet training. And you're like, damn, let me do a toilet training article. But then the person who's listening to the toilet training article works with adults in jobs. And so then you're like, okay, let me do more of like OBM job skills. And then you're like, ah, crap, I missed the social skills. My point here is that the magic of ABA, the science that we have here, is so broad and it can be applied to so many different things. And so finding kind of good articles on skill acquisition that apply to everyone isn't as simple as finding an important topic. It's more about finding a concept within a topic. And that's what I tried to do here. This article is by Valentino and colleagues in 2018, using a prerequisite skills assessment to identify optimal modalities for man trade. So this is a verbal behavior article that is working to identify the best way to teach manding. And the way they did that is by creating a prerequisite assessment. They looked at foundational skills that have to be present for a man modality teaching method to work. They assessed those first and then paired them with the eventual teaching that then resulted in skill acquisition. And the reason why I chose this article over a bunch of other articles that I had in mind is because I really love the idea of a prerequisite assessment prior to choosing the goal. This is something that we really don't get the luxury of doing 9 times out of 10 in our clinical practice, because the way our clinical practice flows, you receive your prior authorization, you write your intervention, that intervention has goals and description of goals, and then you actually get enough time to work with the learner and see what's going to work out. And then you edit and modify and switch. And by the end of the 6-month authorization, what you originally planned to do is just nothing like what you ended up doing. And that was really frustrating for me, for analysts, because one, I was feel like I was wasting all this time writing and writing when in reality, I could have just, I don't know, tested and done the assessment properly with maybe not 10 hours, but 25 hours and gotten a much clearer pathway forward. It just felt like a waste. So how does that relate to y'all? I got coming way off track. The prerequisite skills assessment is a really important piece of then finding what teaching method's going to work, right? What skills are going to lead, what skills are you going to target that then lead to skills that are going to be mastered? If the final goal is for the learner to communicate, then what skills need to be present prior to teaching that if they're not present, the learner is not going to communicate? That's the idea of a prerequisite, similar to a precursor. It is skills that must be present for a future skill to work. Oftentimes, these are like the foundational skills, sometimes the pivotal skills, things like generalized observational learning, generalized modeling, generalized vocal imitation. These are skills that have to be present beforehand for things like vocal prompts to work, for things like model prompts to work. In this specific situation with man training, it serves as a really clear example of how much time could be wasted if you ignore these foundational skills. So let's take, for example, little Johnny comes into ABA therapy. He has no communication skills
and the caregiver just really wants to start working on his language. First step, consult with an SLP. If you can, consult with an SLP to get the care collaboration going and use them to help guide this process. But in some cases, and this happened all the time when I was working with learners who had lower socioeconomic status, they couldn't access an SLP, or they were on the wait list for an SLP, and we had to make the choice ourselves. What do we do? How do we make the decision of vocal language, sign language, PECs, all of these different options? I can tell you that it's a very early and new behavior analyst. Sometimes I guessed or did what the parent wanted, right? The parent said they wanted communication. Okay, let's try communication, vocal communication. When that didn't work, we would go on to the next thing and then the next thing. And that wasted a ton of time. There's one specific situation where I remember spending 3 weeks working on COEX before finally admitting that the client wasn't ready for a COEX and then switching to sign, and then they picked up sign within 3 days. That waste of time on communication could have been totally shortened and switched to sign, and then we would have pushed way faster through the intervention.
80 CEUs, $10 a month, 3 to 5 new CEUs being added every single month. Straightforward, simple, that's CEU Streamlined. I created the Netflix of CEUs with all of not only my old content, but 3 to 5 new hours of CEUs being added every single month. Right now, we're at 85 videos and climbing more and more with over 400 behavior analysts getting all of the CEUs they could dream about for only $10 a month. So if you're interested, go ahead and go to behavioristbookclub.com and click the link that says Streamline Info, or check the link below this episode. I know that you will love it, and I guarantee you that you will get all the CEUs you need at, finally, an affordable price.
So choosing the wrong modality or not assessing your prerequisites can delay progress significantly. It can increase frustration and problem behavior from the learner, and of course, decrease compliance and trust in the ABA program on the caregiver side. We're wasting time. And if we don't assess prerequisites, then we're going to have a higher chance of wasting time. The process of teaching and then modifying and then trying again and then trying again and then modifying, that is standard in ABA. But we want to shorten it as much as possible so that we have results to show, so that we can get buy-in from the caregivers and ultimately improve the client outcomes as fast as possible. So the authors set out to evaluate a brief prerequisite skills assessment that could predict which manned modality child would learn most easily and how quickly they would acquire manned in that modality. And once again, to pull this out from just the manned conversation, the key here is that the goal of this paper was to develop a brief prerequisite assessment to see if the future goal was going to exist the way it was or need to be modified. So keep in mind here that when you're doing a prerequisite assessment, it needs to be quick. This is not a 3 week, 4 week. This is not a functional analysis that's going to take 35 different sessions. We're looking for things that are quick. 13 children aged 2 to 8 with autism or developmental disabilities who did not yet exhibit one word of functional MANDs were the participants with alternating treatment design. Essentially, they did a prerequisite assessment and then assessed all different types of MAND training, and they looked to see if the prerequisite skills that they assumed were needed were present. Did they then learn that communication modality? A very simple example of this is motor imitation had to be present before sign language was going to be successful. And they said, if we have no motor imitation and they have no ability to learn sign, that makes sense. They have high motor imitation and they have high ability to learn sign, that makes sense too. So the key findings were pretty straightforward, right? They found that most kids had at least some form of skill set on that prerequisite assessment, most of it being matching, which meant that almost everyone was able to pick up picture exchange systems for the communication modality. They also were able to find that in a pretty high percentage of accuracy, the presence of other skills like vocal imitation, motor imitation, predicted the presence of mastery in vocal communication and sign communication. It was almost a one-to-one prediction. Now, it wasn't perfect. There were some kids who didn't show the prerequisite skills and then were able to show the classification scales, but that's somewhat to be expected with a sample size like this, where there's some variability. Overall, it was a pretty strong success, and it showed the power of prerequisite assessments. The key takeaway here that we need to focus on is that the ability to assess prerequisites led to a highly efficient intervention. All of the time that might have been wasted teaching vocal communication to somebody who didn't have vocal imitation would have been a waste of time. Now, does that mean that we never are going to get vocal communication for that kid? No, it means that we're targeting the wrong skill, right? So instead of targeting the terminal goal of vocal communication, you instead target the skill of vocal imitation and whatever needs to happen before that, like an echoic assessment, so that you can build the prerequisite and then get to the terminal. See, each goal doesn't exist in this vacuum of terminal goal, work on terminal goal, master terminal goal. It's terminal goal, presence of prerequisite skills, teach prerequisite skills, assess if prerequisite skills are there. As you go up that pipeline to get to the terminal goal, any steps that you skip are inevitably going to throw out your own whole process, and you're going to lead to a complete waste of time later on as you're scratching your head and like, why can we not master the school? Odds are you don't have the prerequisite skills to do. All right, that was a little bit of a faster one. It's a great article. I really encourage you guys to think through what are the prerequisite skills for your terminal skills that you have right now. And if you have a goal that is continually struggling with over and over again, you cannot master this goal, pause, stop, look the prerequisite skills and see if they're present and then move forward from there. All right, that's been essential reading. I believe that was number 6. And we will continue on next week. See you then.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you learned something, and I hope you continue to learn something as you tune in Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays to the Behaviorist Book Club. If you liked this episode, consider leaving us a review, sharing it with a friend, and most importantly, using it in your clinical practice. There's no other reason why I do this than to make you a better behavior analyst and to make myself a better clinician. See you in the next one.